can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day.
Lyme disease. Some get it, some don't. Why? What determines who gets what? Is it a lottery and some have the winning ticket? Is it the luck of the draw? A bad day of the casinos? When our bodies are under attack from an invader and we are armed and ready, are we armed and ready for the fight? Or is our army off fighting another battle? Daily battles that make it too weak and too tired to mount up defenses against yet another new enemy. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Linda, and together with my husband, David, we co-own and co-create Viable Options in North Kansas City, Missouri. Together, we bring you nearly 50 years of experience. We are the subject experts in our collective fields of traditional Chinese medicines, colon therapy, homeopathy, flower essences, iridology. We join our practices with other modalities that we have in our office that create a healing space for those who choose to heal. Ayana Chi foot baths, far infrared saunas, the Zyto Compass for body evaluation, nutritional support from New Sun, Dr. D'Adamo's Eat Right for Your Blood Type supplements, and the many professional-grade herbal formulas that are available when one moves from prevention to intervention. It seems as if our bodies are always at war, every day. Anything from acne to zits in Lyme disease seems to be the current evader at the moment. I'm going to introduce someone whom I have learned over the years to completely trust with any and all of my choices along the way. He has pulled me out of the depths of near death twice with his knowledge and abilities to formulate a program without the components that seem to grow disease rapidly for everyone, self-induced stress and emotional fear. Is there an emotional component behind Lyme? Yes, there is. Louise Hay, Carol Truman, Kara Tuttle, all have written well-researched and documented books that all disease starts with an emotion or feeling left to float around the body constantly like a pot of water on the back burner, simmering for months and years until finally the body says, enough, settle it already. If you have any unresolved emotions in the mind, the body, or the spirit prior to getting Lyme disease, while you still have them all, now they have just been exaggerated by an insect so small you need a magnifying glass to see one. Now, since we are not licensed medical doctors, we do have to tell you a few things before we get started. If you think you have Lyme disease, you should find a medical doctor trained in working with this disease and be evaluated. None of the alternative approaches that we are going to discuss today have been approved or evaluated by the FDA and should not be used as a sole basis for evaluating or treating Lyme. Please feel free to discuss them with your doctor. Now, I have the pleasure of interviewing my partner today. So with that being said, I want to introduce to you David.
Good afternoon and welcome to our show, Choices Along the Way. Today I'm going to share some thoughts about Lyme's disease, or Lyme, there's no S on the end, Lyme disease, from my perspective as a master herbalist. And later on in the show, Linda's going to do the same with her thoughts as a colon therapist. Though today's show is all about Lyme disease, you can substitute this information for just about any disease, ailment, syndrome, whatever you may have going on in your body. It's sort of a one-stop shopping list. It's UNA information. It's the basis for any disharmony that one would have. So let's get started here. We would appreciate if you took some notes today. It might be a good idea. That way you can reference it, and we will be archiving the show. So tomorrow night you can re-listen to it and share it with your friends. Lyme disease is caused by a bacteria. Amazingly, humans deal with millions of different kinds of bacteria and viruses every day, and our body's systems are there to guarantee that those invaders are not able to, let's say, use their weapons of mass destruction on our immune system. and our immune system has them in check, disarmed before any damage occurs. So if some folks get the infection and some folks do not, what's going on? The answer, which I'm sure you've already realized, lies in the state of your immune system, pure and simple.
Okay, David, how do we get our immune system working?
Well, for those of you who do not have Lyme, prevention is the key. And for those of you that do have Lyme, we're talking about alkalining your system immediately to resolve and mitigate the issue.
Now would be a good time for you to get the pen and pencil and jot down a few notes, because we're going to go fast and furious to get all this information in, and you won't want to miss any of it.
A 7.35 to 7.45 pH balance is optimal for good health. Going to war, which one does if one has Lyme disease, cancer, diabetes, or whatever the label may be that they've tagged to it, means you have to get your pH balance into the 8.0 range. When your body is more alkaline, in a more alkaline state, it's very difficult for a virus or a bacteria to live.
So 7.35 to 7.45 for good health, and then you kick it up, or like Emerald says, you, what does Emerald say?
I can't remember.
Bam. You bam it up. Bam up a notch or two into the 8 range to fight the fight. So how do you check your pH?
Well, it's pretty simple. You can simply buy the pH balance strips at your pharmacy or at your local health food store. You can lick the strip to check the pH, or you can pee on it. Just don't get confused and do both. Follow the instructions that come with the package, and it'll give you an idea where your pH balance is. It's not an exact science, because it's not a laboratory test by any stretch, but it's going to get you into the ballpark of knowing on a daily basis where your pH is.
What else is involved in bringing out or bringing the PhD? I'm sorry, what is involved in bringing the pH level up?
Well, first you got to start eliminating the high-end acid foods. Not forever. However, you can return your pH to just long enough until you can return your pH to an alkaline level. Start eliminating or minimizing, at least, red meats, eggs, pork, chicken, dairy products, grains, nuts, beans, obviously beer, whiskey, and the biggest culprit of all, which is sugar. Now, I can already hear the moans and groans, and what does he think we can eat? You're going to learn how to juice, how to eat salads, some fruits. All this is fundamental, and it's very life-changing. It's really not that complicated. It's a choice, one of your choices along the way. And for some, it's usually the deal breaker, and they choose another route, one that is extremely costly and takes months and years and keeps you sick and depressed daily. You've got to start eliminating the chemicals in your diet. So we've already talked about making some slight modifications in our diet on a daily basis. We're going to start eliminating the chemicals in our diet. Absolutely no aspartame, no diet pops, no phosphoric and citric acids that are found in soda pop. These are real deal breakers. There is absolutely no nutritional value in putting at least those three items into your diet on a daily basis. No one has ever lost an ounce of weight on a diet soda. So it's just a chemical, and it's one more thing that your body has to figure out what to do with. The more chemicals that you introduce into your body, the more cleansing you're going to have to do, and the harder your immune system is going to have to work to eliminate those added toxins. The next thing that we're going to suggest for you is start embracing the Eat Right for Your Blood Type diet. This is an absolute no-brainer. Linda and I and our family have embraced this for well over 20 years. It's pretty simple. It's pretty easy. All the research has already been done by Dr. Diadamo, and you can go to our website, viableoptions.com, www.viableoptions.com, click on the Eat Right for Your Blood Type link, and you can find out everything you need to know about adjusting your diet to match your blood type.
So we usually have people coming into our office all the time, and we ask this question as part of the intake. And usually about 8 times out of 10, we get, I don't know what my blood type is. So what if you don't know your blood type? How does one get their blood type known, David?
Well, that's pretty easy. You can either call your doctor, check your birth certificate, ask your mom to see if you've already had this done. A wonderful way of finding out what your blood type is get a hold of the Red Cross and donate blood, because they're going to blood type you if you're a blood donor. And you can also go onto Dr. Diadamo's website. You can buy a blood typing kit, which is very, very inexpensive. I think it's under $10 or $12. And you can do it at home and find out the answer in minutes.
Well, Dr. Diadamo has phenomenal books, but they're big and they're heavy. So how can I remember my food choices if I'm at the store without his book?
Well, you can spend a few dollars on a very easy carry in your purse or throw it in your glove compartment version. It's a small paperback book for each of the blood types, and it will give you a full set of guidelines for the proper foods for your blood type, the ones that are like medicine for you, the ones that are neutral, and the ones that are going to work against you. Following the guidelines that Dr. Diadamo has put together is really quite simple. Most clients who follow them notice a positive change in their sense of well-being rather quickly. Our family follows the guidelines for blood type O, since the three of us here at home are blood type O, and we've done so for years. So we have walked the walk when it comes to his suggestions. Now, what if you don't have Lyme disease or any major health challenges that you're trying to overcome? We do always suggest that maybe you might want to follow the 80-20 rule. That means 80% of the time you do everything that you can to follow your proper blood type diet. Then 20% of the time, you know, if you go out to, with friends for dinner, or you go to the Cheesecake Factory and you want to have a slice of cheesecake, or every once in a while maybe you want to have a pizza or something like that, that's perfectly okay. Having something that's not within your blood type every once in a while is not going to be harmful. And it's something that is a good treat, it's a good stress reducer, and allows you to kind of have a little freedom out there.
Since we've been talking about alkalining your system, as a colon therapist, and for those who are listening that are my clients, you know how much I push Acidophilus, which is also probiotics. Funny story, I had a woman come into my office that argued with me continuously, because she only wanted to buy probiotics, and I kept talking Acidophilus. If you're buying Acidophilus, you're buying probiotics. If you're buying probiotics, you're buying Acidophilus. They're one and the same. However, when somebody has a health challenge, I tell them, as David does, ramp up your probiotics, because that is going to ensure that you change the ratio in your gut to more alkaline than acid. You have to be somewhat acid to be able to digest your food, but you have to be alkaline to keep the acid down to reduce the inflammation. This is one of the mainstays for someone with Lyme disease, not only with cancer, diabetes, whatever your health challenge, you have to be taking mega doses of Acidophilus, or if you prefer, probiotics. Is this not right, David?
Yes, most certainly. If you're on, or if you're on any kind of a long-term antibiotic program prescribed by a medical doctor, which is generally the pro forma for somebody with Lyme disease, then you absolutely have to be taking an Acidophilus that is specifically designed for long-term antibiotic use. And there are some. Over-the-counter Acidophilus may not have the power to mitigate these potent drugs. Eating a yogurt laced with sugar is like having a dessert, and I generally do not recommend that yogurt is going to be your Acidophilus replacement if you're on a long-term antibiotic. That's something that you really, really should discuss with your doctor, and he may be able to, or she may be able to help you along that way there. When you're at war, you're bringing out the big guns, and antibiotic-resistant Acidophilus is really a must. There are very specific strains that have been formulated, and most medical doctors know about them. If they don't know, you can certainly contact me, and I can make arrangements for you to get these kinds of probiotics. Your body has a variety of systems that these systems are quite dependent upon each other to work together as a team. And when everybody's playing well on the play field, you have good health. When there's a bully, that bully has to be resolved and tossed out of the playground. It's always baffled Linda and I that practitioners will treat people either traditionally or naturally and never suggest that they move the toxins out of their systems. Some are going to suggest, well, you know, you can add some flaxseed or some psyllium or more fiber. However, cleansing the colon, where 85% of your immune system resides, is rarely ever addressed. Now it's my turn to switch the program over to my wife, Linda, who's the colon therapist at Viable Options. Linda, take us for a little while.
David, that was outstanding. And people, you know, what I have found in the last 25 years working with people, as has David, that they want to make things so hard. And really, things are very simple. David has seen me in deathbed situations a couple of times, as I have seen him with his heart. And we always find that the underlying, one of the underlying things is an emotional component. So we immediately go to that emotional component. And then we go to the organs that are involved. And then we decide who is the bully. Then we start with colonics, because we have to clean the body. And then our diets go green, green, green.
Yeah, Linda is the end of anyone's program. Whether you're on one of my programs that I have consulted with you about or someone else's, you have to move the toxins out of the body completely. As I've heard Linda say many, 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 many times, when you're on a program, whether it's to stay healthy or in an attempt to regain your health, it's much like cleaning your entire home and putting all the garbage in your living room. Slowly, day by day, that garbage is going to find its way back into the other rooms, which are the other organs of the body, to clog them up once again. It's not until you take it to the curb, which is like getting a colonic, and you have done a thorough house cleaning, now you're going to want to keep that paper out, because Linda's going to start you out on some
ciphering.
Ciphering.
You remember that old school talk for doing math? But before we get there, I want to go back on a couple of things that you said, David. I want to make sure that people understand that when you contract Lyme disease, it's from a bacterial. And when your body is acid and it's toxic filled, you have basically put out a welcome wagon for not only a Lyme disease, but for anything, colds, flus, fibro, muscle aches, just not feeling good, being depressed. All that has a toxic effect on your body, and it is the body system, the colon, that is there to relieve the body of the toxins on a daily basis. No one would ever think of piling garbage up in their garage day after day after day and not think that ugly little bugs and worms and everything else is not going to get created laying there, because this garbage is just going to start composting. We have to move the garbage out of the garage, out of the living room, so it doesn't continuously affect our bodies. Our bodies were designed to live, how long was it, David?
125 years. When I was back in college, I had a professor that taught us that as a mechanical device, our bodies were designed and built to last about 125 years. And funny, that's about how long they lasted in the Old Testament, isn't it, Lynn?
Yes, and the only thing that breaks our body down is acid. Now, I want to go back to Dr. D'Adamo's lifestyle. I'm going to tell just a quick story of how I got started in this, because I introduced it to David when I met him. When I started doing or being involved with colonics as a professional almost 25 years ago, I was told repeatedly that the only way I could have a successful practice and teach successfully in the three massage schools that I was teaching in was that I had to be completely vegetarian because you had to be a vegetarian to be healthy. So I bought into that. I went completely vegetarian. I'm somewhat of a gourmet cook. I was making meals that would grace the cover of any magazine, and I was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. I lost my energy. My back started to hurt, my legs. I was grumpy all the time, and I kept thinking, wow, I was feeling pretty good before I started this vegetarian diet. What is going on? I had acid flying out of me at all ends, top and bottom. One day, a very nice client walked in and said, oh, look what I brought you. It's a new book from this guy named Dr. D'Adamo. He's written a book about blood types. I'm like, well, cool. Let me read it. Let me look at it. While she was getting ready to get on the table, I was paging through the book. Well, you know what? I'm a blood type O. I'm a meat eater. And being a vegetarian was not in the cards for me. So I cleaned out the cupboards. I restocked them with everything that I was supposed to have. Within 45 days, I was feeling right on top of my game. Within 3 months, I had dropped the 45 pounds that I had put on, and I started feeling really good. Then I started to prove this to myself through every client coming in. When I get a person with an A blood type, I ask them immediately, what kind of diet are you on? Do you eat meat? Well, yeah, I love meat. Why? Why do you love meat? Well, it was a habit. It was what was fed to them. Acid in an A does not promote health. It promotes cancer and heart disease. Take the red meats out, give them a little bit of fish, sometimes a little turkey, chicken, lots of vegetables, lots of fruits, and your body is going to reward you with good health. The same with a B blood type and an AB. It all makes sense. If you have that certain blood type, those foods are the only things that are going to get digested properly and give you the nutrients and the energy that you need. Now, we're ready to do some math, aren't we, David?
Yes, we are. Okay. So everybody get a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil handy because we really want you to write this down. This is something you can take to the office and share in an email with your friends, and this is really, really interesting here.
And if you don't know the answers, don't worry. I'll supply them for you, okay? All right, I want everyone to write down 365. That 365 means the days of the year. Then I want you to times it by 3. 3 means the meals per day. Now I know some of you don't eat 3 meals a day. Some eat more, some eat less. But just for the sake of the show and everything, we're going to do 3 meals a day, and that's going to include all your snacks and everything else within a 24-hour period. Now, you're going to times that by the 365, and I'll give you a couple of seconds before I give you the answer. That equals to 1,095 meals in a year. Now, let's say you have one bowel movement a day. That's 365 movements, which brings your total intake of food down to 730 meals. Now, you don't have chunks of roast beef and French fries floating around you. What you do have is the residual matter that is left from these foods. Now, if these foods are more acid than they are alkaline, then you have a tendency to grow a more acidic body. The ash is what we call it, and that is what is toxic, and that starts to build up along the walls of the colon. And the walls can get coated to where the stool coming out is very thin. Sometimes it's ribbon thin. Sometimes it's the size of your baby finger, when actuality it should be 2 to 3 inches in diameter. Whatever size your stool is coming out, that tells you how impacted your colon is. When these toxins back up enough into the small intestine, then the small intestine starts to back up into all the organs. It gets into the breast. There have been studies made 50 years ago on a group of women, and out of the 500 women, over 400 of them that had breast cancer had lifelong constipation. And why? Because in the breast, you have your lymphatics. You have glands that have to drain every single day. When those lymph passages are clogged, then tumors can form and cysts. Then you develop breast cancer because these tumors and cysts become hot. They become inflamed. They become acid. And now we have cancer. Open these systems up. That is what your sewer system is. In your body is your lymphatics. Everything drains into your colon. Your colon is wrapped in over 22 million nerve endings that go to every organ, muscle, tissue in your entire body. When those reflexes are bogged down with acidy buildup, it can't send the energy to those organs to keep them stimulated and cleaned out. So eventually, it gets all backed up. The colon is nothing more than a muscle that's no different than your arm or your leg. It's tubular in shape. It has a rhythmic function to it, and that function is called a peristalsis. It means that your colon contracts and expands. We never feel this contraction and expanding, even though it's going on continuously until we get diarrhea. Then we feel spasms, and when we feel the spasms, that's the colon gripping down to send out the invaders. Our body has systems that try very hard to keep us healthy, don't they, David?
Yes, we have four major exit points. Lynn, tell us a little bit about those.
Well, before I get into that, some of the other ways that are always shut down is when we have an invader come into our body, we start with a fever. What have we been trained medically to do with fevers? Stop them immediately. Not so much. Not even with a small child. You keep a small child comfortable. You watch the fever. Unless there is extreme pain throughout the body and screaming and yelling and something that would tell you something else was going on, let this fever eat the bacteria up.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. There's a kind of a homeopathic approach where your body will do everything it can, which Lynn is saying, it'll raise the temperature because if you're not 98.6 and you're a little bit higher than that, again, you start throwing your pH off, and then when the pH goes off, bacteria and viruses will not be able to survive. So your body's going to start digging into the reserves. If you've been in reasonably good health, your body will start fighting off an invader or toxins, and it'll do so by perhaps raising the temperature. Sometimes we'll have diarrhea, or we'll throw up if we have a bad food in our stomach. I mean, God took the time to really design a very well-organized and dramatic machine that we have. And then as you start going through these steps where your body starts using up its reserves of energy and it'll start throwing everything it can to overcome an invader, it gets to the point where the disease will set in. And your body, I mean, it goes right back to what we were talking about in the beginning. Why would some people get Lyme's that get bit by a tick and some people don't? Well, if you have the reserves, if you have reasonably good health, and if you take the time to eliminate toxins from your body, there is always that possibility that getting bit by a tick and having Lyme disease is not going to be part of your life.
I remember, I don't know if anybody out there does, but David also remembers, I was raised in the country. David was more of a city boy. He didn't have to contend that much with ticks until he went up north with his dad. However, I remember laying in the field, and we would laugh and talk and pull the ticks off of each other, not even thinking twice about it. Last summer, I had four ticks on me. I pulled them off, put a little peroxide on, and life went on. Other people get bit, and they have a life-threatening issue. Why is that? It's because no matter where, how we talk or what disease we talk about, it all comes down to the same thing. How much inflammation do you have in your system? How much acid are you carrying in your system? And if you're carrying enough, that will grow a small little itty-bitty tick bite into a disease, then it's time to get your system cleaned out. And if you're not willing to get your system cleaned out, then try to figure out why it is that you're pushing this cleansing away. We have four major exit points for elimination, and women have an extra one. We have the kidneys, the lungs, the skin, and the colon. And for women, we have the uterus. Toxins that we as women do not expel through our colon, because usually women are constipated, then those toxins are expelled into the uterus because the uterus has its monthly cleanse. Nowadays, it is the thing to take Depo-Vero shots or another kind of hormone-sustaining pill to keep these young girls from having their periods. This is probably the most dangerous thing that a professional could ever give to anybody, much less a young girl just starting into their periods. Periods are there for a reason, and they are not there for pain. If you have pain, then the other systems are not flowing. Pain is to tell you to knock on your back and say, hey, something's not flowing right in my body. Look at it. Help me flow. Help me flow these toxins out of my system so I am not in pain any longer. We are set up like a finely tuned city that runs well every day. We have systems that clean daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. We clean the systems of our cars and our trucks yearly, monthly. We make sure that we have the right gas, the right oil, the right transmission fluid, all that. Well, it's no different than our body. We have to make sure that we have the right everything going in so our bodies can produce the right everything to take care of anything else coming into it. Most people don't even know that much about their colons, and some people are probably thinking, oh my God, this is a show on Lyme disease. Why do we keep talking about the colon? It's because the colon is the main organ whenever we talk about any disease in your body. If your colon isn't functioning, you're setting yourself up for something. Whatever tag you want to put on it, it's getting set up. Our colons are, well, give or take an inch or two, approximately 33 feet in length. It starts in our mouth, and it runs all the way to the rectum. Whatever happens between the mouth and the rectum is 100% up to you. Our bowel movement should be like newborn babies, food in and food out. Somewhere around 45 minutes after a meal, we should be eliminating the previous meal. There should be no odor, and it should only take a few minutes or even a few moments. Our stool should be 2 to 3 inches in diameter, 6 to 12 inches in length, and it should have a little tail at the end, and it requires no wiping. They should float, slowly sink to the bottom, and break up. Gas and bloat are all man-made, and that is why there's so much discomfort associated with them, because gas and bloat is not natural to the body, so we reject it and we react to it.
Okay, hang on a second here. I heard something in that last statement about no wiping.
Yep, no wiping. Okay. Just like deodorant, toilet paper is man-made.
Yeah.
It was made to handle a problem. A problem with us not keeping our bodies clean. If you've got rotten food inside of you, which I see coming through the colonic tube all the time, if your bowel movements will run people from the house, if you're using spray, everything, then you have rancid food inside of you. When you sweat, that rancid food is going to come out and you're going to stink. That's why they developed deodorant. And that's why they want you to believe that dry is better. Dry is not better. We have glands under our arms, and those glands have to sweat. Come on, people, listen up here. If you're using antiperspirants, those glands cannot sweat. Then we turn into nothing more than a pig. That is why pork is so bad for us to eat. Why? Because a pig can't sweat. It has to have water. It has to have something to cool it down. Because when it sweats, it can't sweat through the skin. So all the sweaty toxins go in the meat. So now we've got all these sweaty toxins going back into our body. And for women, the softest tissue we have is our breast. For men, it's your prostate, David.
Yes, indeed.
And David takes very good care of his prostate.
Yes, I do. Yes,
so no I wiping? Do. Well, we have two little muscles. They're called sphincter muscles, and they do a clip-clip when our stool is proper, when we have proper stool. When we've eaten properly and we don't have a lot of stress, yada, yada, we've got enough greens and enough protein, enough starch, enough carbohydrates, then the stool comes out absolutely perfect. It goes click, click. We have a little tail on it, and it requires absolutely no wiping. So if you are wiping, if you're using half a roll of toilet paper at a time, you got a problem. You really have a problem, and you might wanting to call us.
You got to start reading the box labels and start making some positive changes in your diet on a daily basis. Now, for a lot of folks, I mean, I've been watching on Yahoo and a lot of internet shows about how much fat and how much sugar and how much this and how much that salt is in a lot of the fast foods. Now, that's obviously, it's going to be a personal choice for you as to whether or not, you know, you want to eliminate fast food from your life and things of that nature. And, you know, I certainly would honor that. But if you're having some of these challenges that Linda's talking about here today, and you have Lyme disease or you have some chronic infection or you have a chronic health challenge that you're dealing with on a daily basis, I understand you don't feel good. I mean, I honestly believe and understand that you're looking for some comfort, and it's very, very easy to sneak into the fast food restaurant or the ice cream parlor or the gas station and buy yourself a little bag of comfort with a bottle of comfort to drink along with it. And maybe at night you're drinking Southern Comfort. I don't know. But if you really want to let your body do its thing and do what it was designed to do to overcome the challenges that you're dealing with, rather than prolonging the pain and the problems and the anxiety and the stress, we're talking a full court press here. We are talking about having to process our food properly, just like Lynn is talking about, and yes, getting ourselves to the point where we don't have to wipe anymore. I mean, I'm 59 years old, and it's taken me a big chunk of my life to get to the point where when I have a meal, within an hour afterwards, I have a movement. I'm quite proud of that. And when that doesn't work for me, that means I've maybe strayed off the proper path. So it's really, really, really important to keep our colon happy, because 85% of our immune system is sitting in there. And if we're not working on that, don't look for the magic bullet from a medical doctor or an herbalist or anybody else. It's not going to happen.
Where do you think, David, let me ask you this. I know the answer, but I don't know if you know the answer.
Okay. Oh, a test.
Where does comfort food, we know where comfort food comes from. Where does eating comfort food, where does that come from? Is it a learned response?
Well, I think that depending on the stress that we've had in our life, it's probably learned from our families. You know, growing up, I had, my mother didn't have seven desserts on the kitchen table at any given time. That was always comfort. And my relatives came from Europe, and there wasn't a lot of comfort food there. So when they got to America, we had lots and lots of comfort food.
I know on any given time, I was raised in a very staunch Catholic home, and I didn't always adopt that, let's say, strict upbringing. So my mother always believed that anything that came about, a call from father or a letter from mother superior, everything could be made better with jelly donuts. So I think that is where we learn as children. We get rewarded with cookies. We get we're told that if we have any stress in our life, here, honey, have a jelly donut. It's going to be all better now.
Yeah, it's always,
and it continues throughout our life. We watch a lot of movies because we don't like regular TV. So the movies that we watch, sometimes they show life in different parts of the world. People don't always wrap their life around food. Most people, most Americans, they wrap around every activity that they do with where they're going to stop for breakfast, where they're going to stop for lunch, where we're going to stop for dinner, instead of just let's go have fun and see whatever comes up.
Yeah, this is a really good place to put a really, really, really important point in for everybody to think about here. Now, let's say that you do have Lyme disease, and you're going to the doctor, and you're on a long-term antibiotic, and you're getting your checkups, and you're doing everything that you can. If you had any pre-existing health conditions before you found out you had Lyme, or your lifestyle was really not that good, and you had a very stressy lifestyle, and maybe you're a little overweight, and you weren't pooping on an everyday basis, and you weren't a water drinker. Now that you found out that you have Lyme, and there's no judgment involved with this at all, not only do you have all the issues that come with Lyme disease and the treatments that a medical doctor would suggest to you, you've still got all the baggage and the problems that you had before this thing showed up. So everything is compounded. Now it's times 100. Now it's times 10. If you had achy muscles and didn't feel good and you weren't in a good mood before you had Lyme's,
you're not going to be in one after you have Lyme.
It's not going to,
ain't going to happen.
There's no magic bullet to make this all go away.
This is kind of like, remember the commercials on TV, David, where the guy starts with a little snowball and he starts it rolling down the hill and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it falls on the guy's
car. He makes himself a parking
spot. And he
spot.
Makes himself a parking spot. This is kind of the way it is with anything, whether you have Lyme disease or anything out there. It starts as a little snowball, and it just keeps rolling, rolling, rolling like that. I mentioned earlier that pot on the back burner that keeps simmering. It never quite comes to a boil until one day it's boiling over, and you got to decide what you're going to do.
It's very one of the reasons why we're kind of hammering this point home, and this is really something important to remember, just like, doing the math with the meals, the 3 times 365. Nobody wakes up a diabetic. Nobody wakes up with cancer. Nobody wakes up with heart disease. And if you've got a strong immune system, there is a pretty good likelihood that even if you get bit by a tick, it's not going to bother you, and you're going to probably make it through the cold and flu season and things of that nature. Nobody wakes up with disease. It's just beyond my own personal and professional opinion that God would not have provided for all of this. But nonetheless, if you got bit by the tick and had the mark and went to the doctor and got checked up and checked out and you do have Lyme disease, you've really got to take the steps that we're talking about here today, small, fundamental types of steps to get yourself back at least to zero so you can start building on things.
For women, women are completely different than men, and we did need a radio show to tell people that. However, every organ in the body has emotion tied to it, and when those emotions get out of hand, that organ gets affected. For women, it's especially the liver. And because the liver is responsible for over 64 known hormones that regulate our system, sometimes hourly. Stress, for most women, is 99% self-induced, and it affects the liver as it does all organs. The colon is very sensitive, and if anyone out there understands chakras, which is a Sanskrit word meaning flowing wheels, we have chakras going through our systems. Now, if that's not a belief system of yours, that's okay, but we still have those wheels in our body. So in the colon, through the transverse, we have what's called the solar plexus chakra. That is very, very sensitive. It never ceases to amaze me when someone is talking to me and they're telling me, I'm always so sick to my stomach, and what they are actually grabbing is their colon. Their stomach is up under their left breast. But what they feel is everything in their colon, because your colon is your feeling center, and that's why it reacts to stress, and it reacts by usually, most often, shutting down. Men don't always have this problem because men are not wrapped up emotionally the way women are. Men do have problems with irritable bowel, diverticulitis, Crohn's, colitis, all that, but not on the same level as women. So women can get periods from hell, cramping, backaches, just on and on and on, and it comes from not having proper bowel movements. Everything is tied together. Like I said before, when the toxins are not leaving your colon properly, for a woman, it's going to get dumped into the uterus. Now, that uterus is going to try to stay clean. No matter how old you are, it's always going to stay clean because it's been programmed to do that, to keep a clean, healthy house for a possible pregnancy. So when we have a dirty uterus, we're going to have lots of cramping, lots of bleeding, and it's going to be garbagey, lots of clots, because the body is going to do everything it can within those 5 to 7 days to rid the body of all the toxins in the uterus. That's why when someone's on birth control pills, they have a very light period. And so these toxins just continuously build up and build up and build up until, oh my God, we have endometriosis. I don't know how I got that. Well, stay tuned, because we'll probably have a show on that too, and we'll explain all that. Now, women are the worst offenders when it comes to self-induced stress. We like to cram six things into 3 time slots and wonder why nothing's working, and we're running around like a crazy woman, and why we leave us to the last, and then we resent all those around us because, you know, I've been a martyr for all of you, and now I'm the victim. So we tend to go between victim-martyr. And again, it's not a judgment thing, because I've been there just like everybody else, and I've learned. So when we continuously push off our own cleansing and healing for whatever reason, then we get depressed, and then we are sick because nobody understands. If you don't make yourself a priority, no one else will. Not your husband, not your kids, not your wife, nobody. You have to choose to make yourself priority, and that does not mean that you become a selfish person. It just means that you are very kind to yourself. You make kind decisions for yourself. Don't do everything for everyone and then be resentful because they don't appreciate it, because that sets off the liver. The liver handles the energy of rage, resentment, and anger. And so when we get all this rage, resentment, and anger going, then that screws up all the 64 known hormones, which then triggers off the colon, which then triggers off your nervous system. And now you're going to sit down and eat, and nothing's going to digest because we've got this whole, like, Bermuda Triangle thing going on in your body. And what's going through your mind is, no one loves me and no one appreciates me. And it just keeps going, 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 until finally your body says, enough. I will not take it any longer. Clean up your act, lady, or I'm out of here. And this is one I know firsthand because I've been there twice. So if you're not getting colonics, figure out why. Financial, not a good enough reason. You can always budget for at least 1 or 2 a month. You find a way to get all your goodies or get your hair done or whatever. Figure out a way to budget in your colonics. Time-wise, still not good enough. You control your calendar, and no is a complete sentence. Put it down on your calendar and don't allow anything else to take that appointment. Making one excuse after another, find out why you're so angry at yourself that you won't allow your body to heal. Either heal mentally, emotionally, physically. I'm scared to have one of these. Well, that doesn't work either. Would you be less scared of being diagnosed with an illness or that gives you a time limit on how long you have to live? It's all up to you and only you. The choices you make along the way will most often not only impact you, but everyone around you. So, keep on going, David. You've got more to say.
I know. You always got to, there's a few points, salient points that I want you to really think about here. I want you to always remember that Lyme disease is a great imitator. The symptoms can mimic multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, lupus, Crohn's, and lots of other autoimmune issues. All this means is that before you start on any kind of a program, whether it's medical or it's alternative, or you're working with
Billy Joe Bob down the street,
make sure that you have Lyme disease. Worst case scenario, if find a teaching hospital. That's always what I've always suggested. Find yourself an immunologist, find your medical doctor, and find out exactly what you have.
Then it's always your decision whether you want to do the traditional route or you want to do an alternative route.
Yep. In America, you still have that choice.
And make it fast, because I hear that may be going away too.
Yeah, got to be careful there. Now, the second point. One-third of all the folks that are treated for Lyme still have the symptoms after they've been medically treated. It only stands to reason, and common sense will tell you, that the only way to be healthy is to have a clean, flowing system which allows all the systems to work. Your endocrine, your lymphatics, your muscles, your tissues, your brain, none of these are going to function properly if they're toxic. So you've got to take the time to clean them out. This is more than enough reason to make an effort to start changing your lifestyle. Now, third point. Always remember that the first line of defense against any kind of disease is the food that you eat. What you put in your mouth is what is going to nourish you and sustain you. The second line of defense that you have is proper nutritional supplementation. The third line of defense would be something like the professional formulas that I use in my practice. Now, we highly suggest the Eat Right for Your Blood Type, although, you know, if there are some other diets that you have found that work for you, go for it. You know, we're very familiar professionally and personally with the Eat Right for Your Blood Type diet. And if you use proper supplementation, and I'm not talking about a shotgun approach, I'm talking about an individualized program that was designed just for you, because your body can't handle 20, 30 supplements a day. I mean, I've been rode hard and hung up wet, and I got some miles on me. I do not take tons and tons of supplements, so I just take what's appropriate for me. So a simple program is all your body needs, like a multiple vitamin, some D3, omega-3s, digestive enzymes, some extra B12 if you need it, some support for the other organs. Now, there are all kinds of traditional Chinese medicine formulas that are available on a professional level that you can contact me about. Some contain medicinal mushrooms, some of the ginsengs, not all of them because some are a little too hot, but they do require the services of a professional practitioner. Homeopathy can be used to help support the immune system. Acupuncture is helpful, as well as chiropractic to help ensure the body is able to flow toxins to the colon. Massage therapy works well to reduce pain and stress, as well as something like the far infrared saunas and the Yin Qi foot baths. And obviously, you know, gravity flow colonics are one of the fastest way to bring your body back into balance. Yoga, meditation, anything that's going to help reduce stress, that's going to help keep you in balance in making you number one, lots and lots of prayer. So in closing, we want you to fully understand that there are no magic bullets out there for Lyme disease or any other health problem. Nobody wakes up with a diabetic or with cancer. It takes years. It's a process. How much time it takes for an infection to take hold of you is dependent upon how clean your system is before it became infected.
If you take the time to clean up your act in a body, mind, and spirit, support your immune system, then you have a better chance of fending off any external invader without a whole lot of intervention. If you're not willing to do the work, then you are destined to live with the consequences. The choices are completely up to you. Thank you for joining us today, and tune in February 12th when our show will have sort of a Valentine love theme to it. And it's called I Heart You. I still don't really quite understand what that means, but, you know, Our show is going to be all about the heart, both physically and emotionally. And once again, it will be very, very enlightening. Till then,
you can contact us with questions either by email at viableoptions@sbcglobal.net or through our websites, which are viableoptions.com or choicesalongtheway.com. We'd like to leave you with these closing words.
Also, David has to have closing words, too.
Why don't you want to heal? And if you don't, what are you getting out of that disease that's feeding some part of you? Once again, only you can answer these questions. When you get those answers, give us a call. Because Lynn's going to have the colonic bed all warmed up, ready to go for you. And
I promise a warm instrument.
There you go.
That last statement was made by through Carolyn Meese in one of her books, Why People Don't Heal and How They Can. Some people, when they have a disease, it's for a highly emotional reason. Her book is outstanding, and if you can take the time to obtain that book and read it, it will be life-changing for you also.
Thank you. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend, and God bless, and take care. Okay, take us out there, Seth.